In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning's sermon is based on the Lord's words from the parable in Luke chapter 15. The older brother said, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, in our text from Luke chapter 15, is talking to good stewards and poor stewards. God had given life and talents and wonderful opportunities to the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes that were gathered around Jesus, and they had been poor stewards. They misused their talents and all that they had for their own pleasures to gain wealth, and not to carry out God's plan for their lives, but their own sinful plans. Jesus gathered these repentant sinners, having no illusions of their own righteousness and having a due sense of their own sin. Jesus was gathered in the midst of them in order to give them God's grace, the restoration and forgiveness that God has for sinners. On the other hand, the Pharisees and the scribes were what we would call outwardly very good stewards. They tithed their income for the support of the church. When there were poor and the bell rang in the city square in Jerusalem, they came running in order to donate their money for the poor and to help. And yet in this text, these good stewards are in schism with Jesus. They don't like Jesus. And there we can see that their good stewardship helps them nothing, because in that stewardship, they were separating themselves from God. We, on this Sunday, when I have been asked to speak to you today about stewardship, would like to study this familiar parable in terms of stewardship. And we ask ourselves this question: are you like that younger son, who are using all that God has given to you, your life, your wealth, the possessions and talents that you have, for your own selfish purposes as opposed to the extension of God's kingdom and the work in his kingdom and household? Or are you perhaps like the older brother, that when you look at your stewardship, you are sacrificial and intentional in supporting the work of the gospel here at Emmanuel and in worldwide missions, and yet, like these self-righteous people, you have no joy in your sacrifice. You have no joy in your good stewardship. Are you like the older brother? We are often, as fallen human beings, like either of them, or sometimes like both. The good news is that we have a restoring Father. The good news is that he has good news for both types of stewards, and he wants to draw us into a great celebration and a feast. It is my hope and prayer for each of us that God would move our hearts to acknowledge our own poor stewardship or our own misuse of stewardship, so that we might be gathered around the feast of the fatted calf and enjoy our Father's household. Sons in their father's houses are much like servants or stewards of the house. What sons have in their father's household comes to them not by their labor, but it is all provided to them by their fathers. And when they are good sons who love their father, then as their fathers order the household and tell the children how they are to participate and do good works in the household, loving sons do what their fathers say. They say, "Because I love you, Father, I will be a part of this household. I will do what is expected of me in this household." This text of the parable tells us that God has two kinds of sons in his household. He has rebellious, prodigal sons. These sons say to their father, as the boy does in the text, Give me my portion which falls to me. Now that sounds like strange language. Let me translate. The boy is saying to his father, I want my inheritance. What I am going to get when you die, that portion of your possessions that I'm going to get when you die, I want to have them right now. In essence, what this boy is saying to the father is, drop dead, I don't want you, but I want the gifts and the goods that I'm going to get when you die. This is what open and rebellious sinners do to God all the time. They want their life. They want the talents that God gives them in order to get ahead. They want money. They want popularity. But they want it on their own terms and for their own purposes, not for the purposes that their Heavenly Father has to use it in His household for the work of His household. When do we do this? Let's examine ourselves. It's a matter of priorities. There is no better way of looking at your priorities than to look into your checkbook or to examine your Visa or MasterCard bill as it comes into you at the end of the month. What are you spending your money on? Make a little pie chart and see what these categories have, how big a slice of the pie it is. What part have you spent on what you and your family needs? In other words, the amount that you need to put a roof over your head, food on the table, and simple clothing for you and your household. That's a good thing to do. God wants you to provide for your households in that very way. Go on to look at the entertainments, which means the fancy foods, the fancy mediums, all of the things that you don't really need. There's no absolute requirement that you have them, but you buy those things because you like them. They serve you. They make you feel happy. They make you feel distracted against all of your problems, and they make you feel better. Make that a pie chart on your graph. And then, what part of what God has given to you do you spend on the furtherance of His kingdom? How much do you spend to support the work of the gospel here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and at the school to teach the children? And how much do you spend towards mission work for the church of the world as the gospel is taken to those places that don't know about Christ? That's your Father's household, and that's why He's given you excess wealth in order to support that. If you are spending in that pie chart money on the newest cars, the best travel and vacations, cable TV and all of the entertainments that you really don't need, unnecessarily expensive clothing and the like, instead of spending anything or hardly anything on the support of the gospel, then it may be well true of you what St. Paul said in the epistle room reading today. Your God is not the God of heaven. Your God is your belly. You are worldly minded. You want the things of the world and not the things of your Heavenly Father. You are wasting your life and your livelihood on your own desires, lusts, and wishes, and living apart from the intentions of God to use your resources for the support of His kingdom and the furtherance of His kingdom. What will God do if that's the case? According to this parable, if He loves you as His son, He will let you go on doing it for a while, but then He will let you fail. It doesn't say that this prodigal son took the father's money and bought a diamond mine and got rich and famous and enjoyed the rest of his life. It says here that he lost all of his goods and ended up in a very degrading position of having nothing and having to feed swine. The prodigal son is allowed by God to feel the results of his life and his rebellion against God. The economic privations of our city and of our country are good signs that God has not given up on our country, but that we have taken the wealth that we have had, patted ourselves on the back, and used it for our own purposes instead of the purposes of God. Our city's gambling casinos, the fatherless families in our communities, and the persistent violence of our community are proof of our ingratitude towards God and of our using the wealth that He gave us for our own purposes instead of God's. Americans want wealth, but they don't want God's grace and His gospel. This ingratitude is now being visited by God in our economic downturns. Economic disasters are brought about by God. He controls all of history. God sees to it that the prodigal son loses all his goods and ends up feeding swine. What can happen now? One of two things can happen in a disaster like this. One thing that can happen is that the boy can harden his heart against the father. He can blame the father for not giving him more. He can blame the father and his rules for forcing him out of the household. He can harden his heart against the father and steel himself to guts it out on his own. If God hardens a heart in that way, he is preparing that heart for hell. Because that's what hell is going to be like. Wrath and unhappiness that never ends, and a stubborn resistance and hatred for God. The other possibility is the good possibility. In a crisis, God can wake us up. God can make us see what has happened. This boy has a wake-up call, and he wakes up. He realizes that his problem is him. The problem is his sin, his rebellion against the Father. He takes ownership of his problem, and he says the only answer is to return to the Father and hope for grace. I hope that if you check out your checkbook and you have been rebellious, that you also would realize that the fault is your own, that you also have a heavenly Father that you have been violating, and that you also wake up in order to turn back to Him like this prodigal son. But what if you have checked your checkbook and your Visa and MasterCard and found yourself tithing? Found yourself doing what God expects His Christians to do and faithfully and sacrificially supporting the work of the gospel. You also have a danger. It's a danger called pride. You may end up speaking like this older son does. What does he say? All these years, I have never disobeyed you, but always done what you said. That pride, my friends, in what we have done is not in keeping with the Father's household. Jesus says, when you have done all things, you should not say to yourself, I am a good servant, but you should say to yourself, I am an unworthy servant. I have only done what was required of me. I have only done what my Father has asked me to do. This pride in oneself, then, is also exhibited by a holier-than-thou attitude towards those who don't do as well as you might. You might look down upon those people that are wasting their money in that way and say, you better clean up your act and get with it. You better do that because I'm better than you and you aren't doing as well as I. Friends, my dear friends, all of that bitterness is not in keeping with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel gives us peace and satisfaction, not in the things that we have done, but the gospel gives us peace and satisfaction quite apart from what we've done. It's what someone else has done for us. It's what Jesus, our Lord, has done for us. And thus, good stewards, even good stewards, can ruin their stewardship in their pride and remain like this older son is, away from the celebration in bitterness, away from the reconciliation that God has with sinners. But there is good news for the selfish and the prodigal children. If you want to remain as you are in rebellion against God, God will honor your desire. You can remain a sinner if you want to. Hell, then, is the choice that you are making for yourself. But if you want to become a better child, if you want to be reconciled unto the Father and be part of His household again, then blessed are you. For you have a father that has been sitting on the porch waiting for your return. When he sees you, how your poor stewardship has ruined your life, he has compassion on you. He runs off his porch. He throws his arms around you spiritually. He kisses you on the neck. He puts a ring of freedom on your finger so that you are not a slave, but again a son. He robes you in a robe of righteousness. He has a celebration with a fatted calf. And a fatted calf is blood that is spilled and festival made when the blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins. God has a fatted calf for you if you are a repentant sinner. And that fatted calf is his son, Jesus Christ, who bled and died in your sin so that you who were lost could be found, so that you who were dead may be alive again, so that you who were separated from God may once again be joyous children in the household of your Father. And there is good news for you if you have been selfish, self-righteous, and prideful about your stewardship and thought that the kingdom depended all on you and that you were doing all the work and you really aren't getting the reward that you deserve. I want you to know, first of all, that God does not need you and your stewardship. As Jesus said, when people were praising him and people were complaining about that, if they didn't do it, then God could raise up stones. And if you don't want to be those good stewards, God will raise someone up in your place. So don't take pride as if the kingdom of God needs you. The kingdom of the celebration goes on, whether you go into the celebration or you bitterly stay out in your disdain of the God and his mercy. But more than that, listen to the words of the Father to you. What does he say? All that is mine is yours. Did you hear that? All that is mine is yours. God doesn't want you to be stewards that earn a living so that you do something for him and then he pays you for it. He says, all that is mine is yours. You are more than stewards. You are children of the household. God has for you more than you could ever earn. Everything that God has is yours. Heaven, angels, the love of God, it is all yours already as his children in the kingdom. But to your greater harm, you ignore this, as God says to this older, bitter son. Your brother who was dead is alive again and was lost and is found. Self-righteous, prideful stewards in the church leave out the fact of the brother that is restored. And he's here not talking just about unrepentant sinners that have come to repentance and come to the feast. He's talking about the brother of this unrighteous, this holier-than-thou person who is Jesus Christ, who came into the world to do more than we could ever do back for God. The one who was perfect but came to be lost in the midst, buried under human sin on the cross, in order to be found again in God, victorious over sin, death, and the devil, so that that victory could be ours. Good stewards, don't let your good stewardship blind you to the better things that Christ has done for you. Take all of your sacrifices, all of the works that you have done, and throw them at his feet. Let them be to him, not to you. For he has done great things for you. He has loved you so that you could be restored and part of the Father's household once more. In that, let us receive that sacrifice of Jesus Christ with great joy, that sinners who are distanced from God are now reconciled to God. But then let us also be members of the household of God. Let us, in our joy, join in that sacrifice and make our life also a sacrifice to what Christ has done for us. Amen. And may the peace that gives us, that surpasses our understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.